Hello, world. What separated your deep ball from everybody else?
My deep ball, it has a little secret sauce to it, man.
Never get too high, never get too low, but just keep moving.
The whole story is Carlos never beat me in any kind of sports in high school.
Welcome to the Orange is the New Black podcast. I'm your host, Ace Boogie, joined by my co-host, Zim. Zim, say what's up.
Hello, world. How's everybody doing this evening? We are here. Orange is the New Black podcast. The craziest, the wildest, the most rebellious, the greatest podcast known to man. When you're talking Bengals, of course. But we have a very, very special guest this evening. Someone that is a longtime Bengals true pride and true and all that good stuff. Gary Owen.
Boom.
Boom. Like a Burrow shirt. If you're listening to this on a podcast, Gary is showing his shirt, which we thought was really, really cool. Gary, how you doing this evening, Gary?
I'm good. Listen, if I was ever going to get life in prison, I want Joe Burrow to be my cellie.
What would you do with him?
I'd hold him. Just say thank you.
Do you think that he would help you with your haircuts?
I don't know. I just got a fresh cut for this podcast, too.
Yes, sir. Fresh cut for us sweeping the Steelers or for the pod?
All of it. I'm here for Gary, all of it.
Prior to the show. Hold on, Ace.
Go ahead.
Gary let us know for 10 minutes about this sweet-ass haircut. So everybody in the comments, I'm going to need y'all to subscribe, follow Gary, but you must compliment the haircut. I'm sorry, Ace. Go ahead.
No, I'm good. So, Gary, obviously you're a diehard Bengals fan. How did you kind of become a Bengals fan? Where did that kind of start at?
I just grew up in Cincinnati. So when I started watching football, like heavily, was the 80s. So that was kind of our glory years before we had the freaking 13-year sabbatical. We just took a break from the NFL. You know what I mean? So that was, you know, that was Pete Johnson and James Brooks and Kenny Anderson leading into Boomer, and it was just Anthony Munoz and Tim Crumry and Barney Bussey and
not the Barney Bussey though.
Max Montoya,
yeah,
Kazerski. Yeah. I'm like, I'm diehard.
Out of all the, like, I always ask people this: what is a player that you grew up liking that most people don't really give two flips about? Like, give me like that guy. Give me that random guy that you just like. You got to have somebody.
Let me think. Like, who's probably just, oh, man. I would say.
You're talking about like a Tad Perry?
There's so many because I knew. Well, Tad Perry, if you want, what are we doing here? Are we doing Marvin Lewis or are we doing pre-Marvin Lewis?
It's your world.
Either era, whichever one you want to do.
Well, my guy, and he only played here 2 years, but my guy was Thomas Howard.
Okay,
yeah. The linebacker. And he passed away and I spoke at his funeral. Damn. But that was my dude. And we randomly met because he got sent to Cincinnati from the Raiders. And I had a show in Cincinnati, and Kirk Morrison, who was the other linebacker with the Raiders when Thomas Howard was there, said, my guy just got to Cincinnati, wants to come to your show. I said, yeah. So I left the tickets. He came backstage. We met. We clicked. And that 2011 season was such – it was probably my favorite season as Bengals fans because we went to the playoffs. We were 9-7. We weren't expected to go anywhere. And his daughter and my daughter got real close. So she would go to the games – with his daughter, because she would fly in for the home games, and either she would stay at my house or she would stay down there at his place with his mom. It was just a fun season for the family, and we weren't expected to do anything, and we went to the playoffs. That was probably my favorite season as far as, like, just personally, you know, that year. It was fun.
This season's pretty fun, too. Like, let me ask you this. Where would you rank? Like, I know the season isn't finished, but just like right now, all of the stuff that's happened to come from where we came from, the Jamar Chase, you know, goes crazy. You know, like, it has a fun feeling to the season. Like, do you have a spot where you think it's at? I know it might not be the very best, but, like, how do you feel about it, like, right now, I guess?
Well, before the season started, always do those, and I don't know why we do this to ourselves. You try to predict their record. Like, how do you predict 17 games, no injuries, and everything else comes with it. So I had us at 8 and 9.
Oh,
clearly I'm wrong.
I don't
That's
do that.
What I had us at.
I had us at eight and one. I just felt like there was going to be a tie in there somewhere.
Ace, where do you get a tie from? Nobody gets a tie.
We just had one last season. We always do ties.
We don't predict it. No, I hate it. I think that was you saying I don't want to lose a record. I just want us to be 500.
I was like, somebody be like, how are you in life? Like, I'm all the way 500 all day, every day.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me ask you this, Gary. Like, what do you say to a team after a tie? Like, if you're the coach, what do you say? Like, how do you address the locker room after a tie?
I'll see you guys tomorrow. That's what I can say. All right. That didn't know that was coming. I mean, there's nothing to say. Hey, all right. Are we going to Ruth Chris or are we going Jeff Ruby's? Where are we going to eat?
Right.
There's nothing to say.
In history has to be the Steelers and the Lions, though. That was kind of hilarious.
You know what amazes me the most about a tie? It's always one player, though, at the end of the game that says, I didn't even know we could tie. But it happens every single time. No, but not, I mean,
I did say that,
bro. Like when we tied with Cam Newton and them or whatever. I mean, every single time there's a tie, it's always an NFL player that says, "I didn't know that we could tie."
But I don't know if you spend all your time high school and then college, you know, you probably
But don't you go to the huddle and say, "Hey guys, if we don't score right now, you know this is going to be a tie."
You would think.
Oh, that's fast. But Gary, you obviously recently were at the Bengals Steelers game. What was that experience like for yourself, just like witnessing it in PBS?
Well, you know, I've gotten pretty cool with Joe Mixon over since he's got to this team. And then he kept asking me, yo, go to a game. I got a suite. And I ain't gonna lie, and people might take this the wrong way, I am a bougie guy when it comes to the games because you get accustomed to certain things. And I can't sit in the 300s anymore. I'd rather just watch it on TV. I can't. There was a time in my life where I was up there in the nosebleeds and loved it. But once you go low, you can't go high. You can't. Once you start going low on the regular,
right?
You can't go up there. And the higher you go, you see the tax bracket changing. literally, oh, my God. These people.
Yeah, your first time you get there, they're like, oh, Gary, here you are. You know, like, they've been waiting for you, Gary. Like, that's the person that sat next to you the first time you ever came down there and said, what took you so long, Gary? Come on down here with us.
Yeah, but when I was one of those people in the 300s originally, like, what, where are you from? All right.
Definitely started in the 300s.
$6 for a beer? What the fuck? Yeah. What? All my change.
I tell you one thing, you weren't getting haircuts like that. That's for damn sure.
Hell no, you wasn't.
Hell no, not in the 300s. Y'all,
I left the camera. That club was so faded.
If somebody watching this right now say, you know what? I'm going to step my game up. I might can't come down here to the lower level, but I'm going to damn sure go get me a Gary. They're calling them Garys now.
That up.
Moving forward. Oh, go ahead.
the game this Sunday. I don't think I've seen – I can't remember last time we blew the Steelers out. Even when we win, it's fourth quarter, halfway through, you're like, oh, God. I can't remember. And maybe you guys can.
I feel like the game earlier this season was a blowout. It's just like they just took their foot off the pedal a little bit. If you
that was 24-10.
But this was different. I'm going to tell you, though, I rewatched that game twice. In that game, they never had a shot, and it put us at a position where the Bengals just were like, well, let's just control the clock. They don't have a game plan. When they would get the ball back, they would just dump off. Najee Harris probably had like 16 reception targets in that game because they couldn't throw down the field, and it was almost like both sides just conceded. That's why Tyler Boyd comes out and says like, oh, yeah, they quit. It was no reason.
God, he said that.
Right.
Didn't motivate the Steelers?
That didn't. There was nothing that they could do.
It was nothing they could do. They probably were hyped. Like, think about it. Tyler was living rent-free in Tomlin's head because what happens with 28 seconds left, they call timeout to show that they're not quitting. Right. Yeah, y'all didn't like, you know what I'm saying? Like little weak stuff like that, like Claypool and them still out there. Ben Roethlisberger still out there at the end of the fourth quarter because they did quit the first game. You got, man, to me, I know the score didn't indicate it, but it was so over like third quarter of that game.
That was the first time though. And I think like what Gary is saying is that's the first time that game was over at like halftime. Like, I don't think we've ever
they pick beat six.
Them that bad.
Right. It was
right before half.
It was a wrap.
It's like,
it's 31-3, bro.
Where were you? Were you on the road like watching it or were you in the house?
I was mixing
in the suite. In the suite. Yeah, I'm tripping. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you were dancing.
Little flex. I was in the suite.
Yeah, he was dancing and everything. He was getting it going.
Of course. It had to be a suite.
At little flex. You know what's funny? And it's crazy. Najee and Joe Mixon grew up in the same neighborhood and went to rival high schools, and they're 3 years apart. So when Joe was a senior, Najee was a freshman, and he left, and then Najee came in. And just to have two guys in the same position, you know, basically rival high schools, and then get to the NFL and they're on rival football teams, same position. You can change positions.
Right.
Look at David, David Montgomery from the Bears was a quarterback in high school.
Right. What? That dude is big as hell.
No, let me tell you a funny story about David Montgomery. I know it's a Bengals podcast, but that's a Cincinnati kid.
No, we don't want to hear it. No.
His dad, when my grandpa had cancer, we knew he was on his way out. So he's at the hospital, and his dad, David Montgomery's dad, was taking care of my grandpa in his final months of living, basically. And I would always go at the hospital, I start talking to David's dad. And this one, he was in high school, he was a junior. And I told him, I said, yo, I'm going to come see your son play next year one game. Because we'd always talk bingo football and high school football and college football. So I go to the game next year, and David Montgomery is the quarterback, the safety, the kicker, and the punter. he returned punts. I was like, whoa, you didn't tell me your son was that dude. I thought, right. I literally looked at his dad and go like, he's probably a guard. Right. No clue. And then he goes to Iowa State, switches positions, and now he's a tailback for the Bears. It's a crazy story, and it shows that you can switch positions. He was a quarterback in high school.
What's the history? Now, people probably don't know this. What's the history with you and where you're from and Ben Roethlisberger? Did y'all go to the same school?
No. I grew up all over Cincinnati, but I ended up going to high school up in Oxford, Ohio, where Miami of Ohio is.
Okay.
So that's when he came out, when he was at Miami of Ohio, I'm one of the few people that I root for Miami of Ohio.
Okay, all right.
Not like the Bengals, because it's hard to find coverage when you don't live in that area, too. So it's hard to keep up with the team. Sure. But anybody comes out of Miami, whether it's Wally Cerbiak or Ben Roethlisberger, they get these guys every 10, 15 years that come out. Ron Harper, that type of deal. So when Ben came out, I was like, that's the dude. And then he wasn't the nicest guy when he first came in the league. You know, it's like, I was so disappointed. I was like, oh, God, you're a dick? Come on.
It'd be like that sometimes. Somebody had to send him out like that. Like, Talawanda Breeze. Somebody, you got your hometown in.
Do I got my comments? Oh, there are the comments. Yeah,
somebody said Talawanda. They know you're in.
That's the high school. Those are the homies.
Yeah, that might be. I'm about to say like.
No, but somebody saying Ben's from Findlay. Yeah, I know where Findlay's at, but I'm saying he played college in Miami, Ohio. You know, but
don't let those comments take you off your game.
No, I won't. And I'm not gonna do this. I hate it when people go live like, hey, what's up, Cam? What's up, Reggie? And then they won't get into what they're really talking about. But I roasted the Steelers in 2009 at training camp. I've done a lot of these. When I roast teams at training camp, I tell the coaches in the front office, I don't want ESPN. I don't want any cameras there. I want to be raw.
Right.
Don't want people getting offended. And it's never the players, the coaches getting offended. It's always some media person. And I roasted Alabama and Clemson a few years ago when they was playing the national title game of Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
And they told me no cursing. And I said, okay, that's fine. And it was a heck of a show. It was Anthony Anderson was on it, Faison Love. Like, it was a good show. They put up some money for the show. Right. And I said something about Dabo Sweeney and no cursing. It was something about him sleeping with his wife after the game if they win or something like that. But keep in mind, the guy's married. That's not taboo to talk about. I know right, Dabo's right. Christian, but if you're Christian, you're sleeping with your wife, and that's it, right?
Right.
So
I hope so.
Nobody was offended, and some lady that was in the athletic department at Clemson said she was offended by the joke on Dabo. And keep in mind, Dabo came up after the show and was like funny and was everything else. So it's always that one person. So when I do the NFL roast, I tell them ahead of time, my show's gonna be rated R. And I just don't want any blowback, so to speak. Because I've done the Ravens, Steelers, and Bengals in the course of my life. Done the Dolphins, done the Texans. Trying to think who else I did. I've probably done about 9-10 teams.
Which Bengals team was it? Was it a specific area?
That was 2005.
Ooh, that's the best one.
That was the Hushmanzada, Peter Warwick, Carson Palmer.
People always ask me, do you feel like 2005 team was better than 2015 or vice versa?
I was going to ask you guys that.
I feel like that's a good question that's the only question I could ask that I probably could answer. And me and Ace, I think, might have talked about this one time before. But for me, yeah. I always thought that 2015 was a little bit better. I think he went the other way.
2005,
2005, I felt like the defense was just like super opportunists, and they weren't really like shut down.
I think
that was my reason.
I thought the 2005 team was a little better than 15. But one reason was I think the 2005 team. I don't think there was any doubt they were going to be the Steelers that game.
Facts.
It came out gunning. I think they wanted the Steelers.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I don't know if they would have went to the Super Bowl because you still had to get through Peyton Manning and Brady. But the 2005 team was really good, man. They were clicking. But 2015, before Dalton got hurt,
right?
Man, it was
– I feel like the 2015 team was so good that Dalton didn't really have to do much. It's very few teams in NFL history – where a quarterback doesn't have to be like the best person on the team. And that team was like that. Like, it's not to take anything away from how well he played that season, but he really just had to coast and manage like half of those games. And I just thought, like, I don't know.
That's my favorite. That was probably my favorite regular season game in a long time, was that Seattle Seahawks game when they came down like 24.
Eifert in the scene.
Oh, but Eifert caught it, and they were like 24-3 to 24-10. And I remember he spiked the ball, and I was in Houston at a bar, and I went, oh, shit, we're going to win this game. And I thought energy was gone. I went, wait, the way he spiked that ball was like, we back, get ready. I was like, what just happened? And it was going against the Seahawks, who just were Super Bowl champs. Like, what happened?
I think I walked away from it. I remember I went upstairs. I was watching the game at home or something. And my wife, she might have asked me, like, did they win? I was like, oh, boy, did they. And I think, what are we, like 3-1 or something at that time?
No, we were undefeated.
Yeah, like, it was. Yeah,
we were undefeated because that's when we started 8-0.
That's when we were 8-0.
Right. Yeah. All right. So, but aren't we like 3-0 or 4-0?
I definitively,
the same way I did when we just played the Jaguars game earlier this season, Ace, remember I was running around like, we're going to the playoffs. It's like some certain games that I just be like, I walked away from that game. I'll say, without a doubt, we're going to playoffs. We might go to Super Bowl. I walked away from that Jaguars game. We were all there and it was crazy. I don't know. Were you at the Jaguars game?
No, the first game I made was I don't know if I'm going to make another one because, you know, we work on the weekends. Right, it's hard to get off.
Right. Where you're saying you're working on the weekends. Tell people I should have did that earlier. Tell them currently about your tour. Where are you at right now? What's the next stop? What's going on?
I'm in Houston the next 2 weeks. So I won't be making the Chargers or 49ers games. I'll be in Houston where I can probably get a Texans ticket. They'll probably pay me to show up for the Texans game at this point. And then where am I at? Austin, December 29th, and then Dallas, the 30th and 31st. I do Dallas every New Year's Eve. But Houston the next 2 weeks is where I'm at.
So any Bengals fans in Texas, definitely be sure to hit up Gary's show for sure. We got Bengals fans all over the place because I live in Florida. Zim is in D.C., so – Houdet Nation is all over the place. So if you're listening to this, please be please go out and check out Gary's show for sure.
But Gary knows I'm in DC. I told him to link up with me one time.
You're in Baltimore.
Same difference.
I mean, huge difference. That's like Dayton and Cincinnati. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but for a car, it's the same. And Gary knows. I was like,
wire.
Gary, I really I want to make the record clear. I'm sorry, Baltimore residents or whatever. I want to have nothing to do with Baltimore. Like, I stay on my side of town, and that's that. But I yes, they are two different areas, Gary.
I've been following you for a while. You was telling the Bengals to draft Lamar Jackson.
I told him everything.
That's what I want to. That's what I want to ask. How did you find Zim?
I don't know. Just I don't know. Just Bengals stuff. I can't remember. Just I think he might. I don't know if he DM'd me or hit me up or something. I went to his page and then I was like, oh, this guy. I'm a Bengals fan. But this dude be breaking down film after the game. And you see this? He should have ran a three route, the four route. I was like, what? Okay, this guy's a little more in depth than me.
You know what it is, though? I'm gonna tell you the biggest comparison. It's like if somebody walked up to you and just said, yeah, Gary Owen, the comedian, right? To me, you're more than that. And a lot of times me and Ace, we go on these shows or we do stuff and they don't know what we are. Because we make content, we are funny, we do different things. And they'll be like, yeah, he's a super fan. So I took it upon myself. I said, yeah, super fan this. And I started watching games. I got tighter with the players. I had some players send me some videos, practices, different things like that. So, you know, I got a heads up on that. But I always
defer to you. People talk. I said, you got to follow Zim.
Yeah.
Because he's very – I think Colin Cowherd gets it right a lot and can admit when he's wrong. He was clearly wrong about Joe Burrow, and I was worried because he's right so much, and I know he, like you, he's got an insight. That's my world. I know he has insights, the GMs right. and coaches that tip him off,
right.
So that's why he's right a lot. But when he said Burrow is the next Tony Romo, which is not technically an insult, so to speak, but I was like, we didn't know about Tony Romo in college.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I think right. From a scouting standpoint, the way that he improvises and makes plays longer, that's where I always thought this is the comp I always gave Burrow. Ace, you tell me who you – I always said he reminded me of a right-handed Steve Young. But he's mm-hmm. he's bigger in frame. He has the stature that everybody – but if you go back and watch Steve Young, like – think about how Joe Burrow got sacked this past week. He's trying to over there on the goal line. He's in the red zone. He takes his team. Like Steve Young used to do that type of stuff, but then he'd come back and the next play or next drive and do it all over again and actually hit the next time. But he does that improvising, scrambling stuff. And I think Tony Romo is probably one of the greatest improvising quarterbacks of all time. He's not one of the best quarterbacks of all time, but one of the best improvising.
I can see the improvising thing. I remember Tony Romo, like, when he came along, he was like the third quarterback. Like, I remember they found him in, like, the preseason, and Bill Parcells was like, this guy is actually pretty good.
Like Heineke.
They kind of lucked up into him with Joe. I
mean, Heineke, that's how they found
people
Heineke.
People never want to say this guy plays like Tom Brady, but to me, that's like he looks like his game as far as being accurate, as
come
far
on,
as you know, not the huge arm strength. Yeah, I would say it's Tom Brady, but he can actually run a little bit as well. So, like, for me, it's like laser precision, you know, not the biggest arm, but still a good enough arm where he's going to be able to make deep passes. And he's also got like that clutch factor, right? Like, whenever the game is on the line, you know that Burrow's going to make kind of the right decision. He's going to be kind of the smartest guy in the room, and nothing's going to faze him. He has that attitude, too. Like, when Tom Brady comes out and he's hitting guys, like, before the game and all of that, that, to me, resonates with, like, Joe Burrow as far as his confidence and as far as his energy throughout the game.
Well, I'll tell you something I never thought of, and I feel like I'm name-dropping, but I was talking to Andre Johnson, the wide receiver for the Texans, and his agent. And anybody, if you're in the league and I run into you, and I run into a lot of these guys, they all know I'm a Bengals fan. So then they'll be like, they know what's coming. I'm going to ask some Bengals questions about players we drafted and what do you think. And Andre said this before that we had just drafted Burrow, and I asked him, what do you think of him? And he said, his dog, and I never thought of this. He said, his dog's different because if you look at any number one draft pick, white quarterbacks or high top 10 white quarterbacks, they all have, like, It's, a lot of them California, Texas, came from good homes, money. They go, his dog's different. Athens, Ohio,
right,
is broke white people that have – they never leave.
Right.
So even though he had a little money because his dad was a coach, his social circle right. wasn't like that. The right. only way out was football. There's no way Burrow thought he was going to be a lawyer or a doctor. Right. So his dog is – the way out of Athens, Ohio is football. My dad's a coach. I can get out. He's not thinking anything. He's not Andrew Luck. Like,
Right.
He's not Myron Roll. If you, I'm going to go to London. Hey,
bro, Myron Roll is like the smartest man alive.
I know what I'm saying.
Bro, yeah.
Bro,
I know
what you're saying. There's no doubt he's going to be a coach when he's done playing. There's just
right.
no doubt.
Right. And I remember, you know, like when the whole Black Lives Matter really took the center stage, Burrow was the first quarterback, like when they led the marches downtown and everything like that. And the team goes down there downtown with Mike Brown and everything. Like Burrow did that early before like any of the other quarterbacks or anybody else of mm-hmm. in a position, I guess, of power, like really spoke out and said it. So I thought that was pretty big.
That was definitely a major move for sure.
Oh, you just want to hold him. Like okay, so I'll give you.
You almost want his beard to just grow in, just so you could scruff it.
Have you gotten to meet him yet, Gary?
No. I had his publicist right when he got drafted sent me a helmet and he signed it. I haven't met him yet. Everybody else on the team, I'm cool. And it was funny because Sunday night after the game, my buddy who's a promoter in Cincy, you know Joey Cook, out of Cincy. Oh, he's a promoter. He handles all the. All his spots are where the ball players go when on the weekends and the offseason.
We might because we DJ? Were.
Huh?
Is he a DJ?
No, he knows all the DJs. But Joey, just Joey.
We got some mutuals. I've seen you in some photos with some guys that I'm pretty cool with too.
Yeah, but Joey, he told me like Sunday, he goes, "Dude, you coming out?" I was like, "Nah, I'm tired and stuff." And he's like, "Yo," he started naming up. Dude, we got this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy's coming out. I says, "Burrow coming?" He goes, "No," I go, "I'm good." But I don't want my quarterback going out.
Right.
Hey,
like Johnny Manziel.
Hey, remember we went out. We was in the hood. We was in the hood.
Yeah, we were in the right? trenches.
But you know who pulled up with the most confidence in the world? Trenton Irwin,
for sure.
In the hood. And I was like, yeah. Like, I was like, that's my dud. Like, ever since that day, I've been like, Trent Irwin's like one of my – and then he did an interview with somebody. He's like super funny, but
– you know who else is like that?
Trent Irwin, too. He showed up at a Bengals fan's
– Oh, he did.
This Man. Past weekend.
Yeah, I saw that. But you know who else is like that? When he played for the Bengals, Justice Smith. You he would show up at the black clubs with the cowboy boots and the Wranglers right. drinking beer. Look, but his boys was all defensive linemen, Dwayne Clemens.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was like that was his dude. So he's like, I'm hanging with my friends. And right. would go to all their hood spots.
Trent Irwin pulled up with the bucket hat on, he was dripping. He was doing it all. He was the man in it.
All the wide receivers pulled up.
Out of everybody. Yeah, everybody was there, but he really pulled up. And I just thought, yeah, that was really cool. I was about to ask you something. You just took me on my damn game.
Me?
That never happens.
Sorry about that. Think about it.
All right, go ahead, Ace.
What are your thoughts, like, just from – I know you probably saw, like, the debate me and Zim had with Chase versus Panay. It was, like, the offensive lineman or the wide receiver. What camp were you in when that was going on?
And I DM'd him.
Tell the truth, Gary.
You better pick Chase because the drop-off was too steep.
Okay.
Because you weren't going to get a Ja'Marr Chase or anything close in the second round.
Right.
Now, Penny clearly, I think, is the best lineman. And he's kind of showing that. He's balling, even though he's in Detroit. He's balling. Did you see the Thanksgiving where he took on two guys, blocked two guys, and they highlight him? He's doing his thing, but we could get a good offensive lineman in the second round. We weren't right. – the drop-off was too big to end it. Then come to find out Burrow texted him the night before, pack your bags. You know Burrow in the front office. I was like, right. dude.
Now, that was one thing that I always said, like, throughout the whole thing. I was like, if Joey B is like, I want him, there's no way that the Bengals were going to be like, nah, we're going to get a lineman instead.
Mm-hmm. We talked to Chase's father. We did an interview with him probably about 2 weeks ago, and he was like, no, we had no clue about it. And I was like, man, I don't know about that. Because the people I was talking to behind the scenes was like, nah, this is about to go down, Zim. like a day before or whatever. He said the Bengals never reached out to him or anything like that. But for me, yeah, like I know that you had messaged me that one time, and I was at a crossroads at one point. People don't really know because I was catching a lot of flack from, you know, the casual fan that says, well, what about his knee? You know, and I just got it. I was like, but there's other ways to go get offensive alignment. It doesn't all have to be the first round. So Sometimes when I talk to you and I ask you or you ask me stuff, I'm still searching for answers myself, too. And what I know what I was going to say. I wanted to thank you because you said something you said earlier, like, you know, you follow me and everything like that. I want to thank you, really. I've never had a chance to say this, but I feel like a lot of my followers, whether you put it on Instagram or Twitter or anything like that, because you did that video or like early. Like, you've done a couple videos to say, hey, like, hey, this guy Zim is cool or whatever. And that really, really helped, like, me get my word out and talk my Bengals stuff. So I really, really appreciate that.
Dude, you're the most knowledgeable guy I know. It's for the Bengals.
Besides my role. Right?
Well, I just mean, like,
that was so
unbiased. Rude. Like, if somebody sucks, you tell them. They suck. And that's the thing. We're so quick to say people are hating. Instead of people just saying they're honest. Right. Because I always say that in my line of work. I was like, no, some people just don't think you're funny. Your comedy is not for them. They're not hating. Now, it is one thing to go on social media to tell me or tell somebody, dude, you suck. Just ignore me then. Why do you need to tell me that? You know what I mean? But when sports is different, if you got your team and we are in no other sport, you become emotionally invested like football. I mean, basketball, baseball is fine, but no, you don't get emotionally invested. We're literally, I couldn't wait to watch all the sports channels on Monday. I couldn't wait. When they lose, I hate watching it. But when they win, dude, I'm all over. Come on. Nah, talk about us.
Right.
Yeah, because me and Zim, like, it's funny because we're starting to get more notoriety with Bengals fans and stuff now. But when we first started, we took a lot of bullets for wanting the Bengals to kind of tank and get Joe Burrow. People were like, you guys aren't real fans, and how can you cheer for us to lose? And the whole time we were thinking about Joey B and what was best for the team at the time.
What so week?
We took a lot of bullets.
Was that after the season?
Because during this season. This was like
It was tank for Tua that year.
Yeah. He was Tua for about 2 weeks.
Yeah,
remember that Ace? You was like, but we would come on here. People would unfollow. They would talk trash about it. I don't think me and you were like really. You didn't have any questions around that time. But I was really, really taking a lot of heat. I'm sure Ace was. We were like, the only way we could beat the front office at the time is to give them a quarterback like that nobody can stop. That's the only way to beat this. Or y'all gonna be talking about moving the team.
And then that's the thing. Chase Young battling,
was the thing too. When people was like Chase Young, I was like, no, the only position to change a culture is quarterback. You remember how terrible New England was?
Exactly.
No, okay. 2000
on tech mode.
I went to a Browns Patriots game, and I went, what the fuck is anybody here? I don't know anybody on either team. They both suck. There was no energy, and the game was over. I go, that was the worst game I ever went to. The next year, Brady comes in, New England ever since. But that year, I was like I feel sorry for both your franchises. You know what I mean? And then the only position, the Saints, before Breeze got there, nothing. The only position, and that's why you got to roll the dice on them quarterbacks. Might work, it might not, but that's you got to roll the dice. You got a shot. Changes the whole thing. Free agents want to come here. Because what didn't Reader say?
Yep. Reader said it was between him. Yeah, it was Burrow or someone else. And he was like, no, I'm riding with Burrow.
Yeah. No, it was the Broncos. It was Locke.
Broncos. Yeah, right. Drew Locke. That's what it was. Right.
Right.
Drew Locke or Burrow. That's the only position.
Man, like, that kind
of it changes the way the front office thinks.
Right.
You got a guy there because, I don't know, quarterbacks are like, they're prom kings. They're homecoming kings. You just want to be around them.
As soon as Joe showed up, that's when we went and got DJ Reader. We went and got all of these guys. Like, when they knew that they were going to bring in Joe, that's when that X factor just hit, like you said, Gary.
That's how it goes, and that's how it's going to be. Like, and a lot of this stuff, too, I had to talk to Bengals fans for the last year or two and they always be like, Zim, we're never going to get anybody. We're never going to da-na-na, da-na-na on the bottom of the screen. I was like, nah, buddy. Like, it's going to change because these guys talk. I'm in a couple group chats. There's some different things that are going on around it, and people really care about, like, who's the quarterback. And the conversation about Chase Young and Joe Burrow, I remember that. I said, you can't go backwards. I said the same thing about Atlanta this year. You can't go Pitts right now at this spot. You got to go Justin Fields, whether you believe in him or not, because you got to start off with a quarterback. Because what is Kyle Pitts doing in his first year besides you wasting his whole whatever? TJ Watt, they told me this week, hey, TJ Watt's coming back. TJ Watt's going to tear up the scene. TJ Watt's the greatest guy of all time and all this other stuff. Right, TJ Watt is nothing without a quarterback first. There are very few teams in the history of the NFL where they're dominant defensive-wise and you have all these guys and a quarterback really didn't really matter. The last team I remember was that Tampa Bay team with Gruden that went to the Super Bowl. It didn't matter who the hell was the
Brad Johnson, yeah.
Yeah, Brad Johnson was quarterback. So there's that's a unicorn situation. And so I'm all for Chase Youngs of the world, TJ Watts. I think they're amazing, dominate, everything like that. But you got to go quarterback first.
Oh, how about, can you imagine Jamar Chase in Detroit right now?
That was another big one of them. You know, I thought you was going to say earlier when you were saying Joe Burrow coming here, he's a dog because of where he's from. I thought you were going to say, I thought it was very unique. The only other person I can remember coming into the league that had this situation was Cam Newton, where you come into the league as the number one pick and you already got a Joe Mixon, you got a Tyler Boyd, you got a Gio Bernard, all these guys around you. Like when he first came in, go look at Jared Goff or anybody that gets picked number one or whatever. Their teams suck. They don't have anything. It was just like a real crazy unicorn situation, I thought, that Joe Burrow came in and AJ Green is his wide receiver. Like, right. That doesn't happen every day.
That's true. Gary, I got to ask you, though. I ask everybody when they come on here, I need your top five Bengals of all time, your personal top five list.
Like my favorite or yeah, who I think favorite. The best?
No, the ones that you want to lay with in a cell with. Which one?
God, that's a tough one. All time, man.
Yes, sir.
All time. Burrow's number one. I'm thinking that. So somebody changed my mind. Burrow's number one.
Your all time Selly list. No.
Mixon's number two.
Okay.
TJ Uchenzada's number three.
You just naming your friends, though.
Okay, Burrow's the one that ain't ever lent me tickets and let me sit in the suite.
Joe, we'll send this to Joe. As soon as Joe sees this, we got you, man.
Who, Mixon or Burrow?
No, Joe.
Joey B.
Oh, Burrow. Oh, when I say Joe, I call Mixon.
Burrow ain't done shit for me. Still my favorite. He gives me so much joy.
Right.
I can actually look at people and be like, yeah, I'm biggest fan. What?
Right. Exactly. Confidence.
Okay, so TJ. Who did I say? Burrow, Mixon, TJ, Thomas Howard for personal reasons. Fifth. Oh, the fifth one would be tough. Ocho Cinco.
Okay. All right. That's a good one. Oh, my God.
Because, you know, you guys don't know this, but when I first moved back to Cincinnati, 2004, there wasn't anything to do on Tuesday nights. And so I knew the Players Day off was Tuesday. So I started Two Funny Tuesdays at the Funny Bone there because I was always in town on Tuesdays. So all I did, I got a couple of the Bengals to come out early. And then they brought their friends. And then everybody start coming. And then, of course, the girls come because the Bengals are there. And then it just became the jumping spot on Tuesday. Everybody, and then I got Chad involved. I called Chad since he was showing up every Tuesday. And I was like, yo, you want to call it Chad Johnson's Two Funny Tuesday hosted by Gary Owen? He goes, let's do it. He didn't want anything. He just was always hanging out anyways. And he'd always give away two tickets to games. Every Tuesday, we do a raffle, and Chad would give away two tickets to somebody in the audience. That 2005-06 time was such a good time, just partying and hanging out. It was just fun.
It was. It definitely was.
Man, like, give me – before we – I know you're running short on your time a little bit. Like, do you have an all-time, like, a story, a Bengals story that you just hold dear, near and dear to your heart that maybe you've told – you might have told the story before, but do you have anything that you want to share with the people on a story, or do you have any words of inspiration that you just want to tell people?
Before
it's yours, as you go. No, I don't.
What are you talking about? No, I'll say.
I thought your story about how you found about the 2015, like when you thought that we won the game, Vontaze runs through the tunnel, and you know he gets the interception. I thought that was a really good story.
What, when I was roasting? That's when I was roasting Clemson in Alabama.
Right.
And I had Clemson's whole team behind me, and Vontaze intercepted it. And I got my phone up, and I'm like, the Bengals are back. It's the Tiger family, because it was the Clemson Tigers. I'm talking shit, and the game's on, and Jeremy Hill fumbled, and I went, delete. I never posted it. And I literally, I'm not lying, I went in a back room, and it was a closet. And it was me like a janitor watching the end of this game. And I go, there's no way. And there's pictures of me at the ESPN party that night. I couldn't even smile. Like I'm on a red carpet like this. I couldn't. And oh, Faison and Anthony was in my ass, man. They just was like, and Tony Rock was on the show and he's a Steelers fan. I was just like,
that
was the worst memory. Okay, I'll tell you a funny story, funny Bengal story. Okay. So the Bengals are playing the Steelers in 2005 when Tad Perry ran the – it was the kickoff back.
Okay.
And we were winning the whole game. And then the Steelers took the lead, and then Tad runs it back. And I'm going nuts. And I'm always careful. I know there's kids in the stands. And I'm always careful not to bag on the other team. I'll just root for my team. But I'm not bagging on your team. So he runs that dang kickoff back, and I'm going nuts. And it's just me and my buddy, and we're high-fiving. And this guy stands up about 3 rows behind me and goes, hey, man, you stand up one more time. We're going to have some problems. And I was like, my buddy was like my stomach dropped because it was only us. It was Steeler fans and us. And I went, hey, man, I just got back from Iraq. I can't help but to play the Steelers. I just want to go to a Bengals game. And the guy with the same emotion goes, I'm sorry. He was still mad. But he couldn't mess with. Wait, this guy just got back from war, and my buddy goes, "What was that?" I go, "I know we ain't getting our ass kicked." We were getting that Iron Head beer passed to us the rest of the game. The funny part was he was still mad though. Oh, I'm sorry.
And everybody else, they were like, "Didn't give you how?" Were they like telling?
Oh
me,
yeah, hey, everybody else. Right. Well, you gotta realize, I try to get a rapport with people around me. Especially when you're on the – I love going to away games, honestly, more than home games. I love being like the fish out of water type of deal. Right. So everyone else like was cool around me, the people in my – but this guy was a couple rows back. And I knew it was coming, man. I knew it. And I was like, oh, he going to be upset.
One thing you said, Gary, that was interesting with the 2015 game, which I feel like they get a lot of the blame, is most people try to blame 2015 on Vontaze and Pac-Man. I feel like I've always said that it's been Jeremy Hill. Like, everybody's always like, oh, it's because of Vontaze and Pac-Man. What are your thoughts on just that? Like, not to just blame one specific person, but do you think that you could blame those two guys for the end of the game?
I don't think – no, you can't blame them because Vontaze did what Vontaze does. I always say he's like a guy that doesn't know how strong he is.
Right.
So me or you – run by Antonio Brown and go, prunk. Antonio Brown goes, hey, man, Vontaze, you get a concussion. So I don't think he was doing it to be malicious or to hurt him. I think it was just like, boom. But he doesn't realize how strong he is.
You don't think that's you being a Bengals fan just giving him the benefit of doubt for that?
No question. Without question, I'm giving the benefit of doubt. Yeah, no doubt about it. If that's the other way around, fuck that motherfucker, man. Dirty bitch. Without question, I'm a homer. But Joey Porter runs on the field. Coaches can't be on the field. Pac-Man's trying to make wind of that. That second flag wasn't needed in that time. It wasn't needed. Like, the first flag on Vontaze, it sucks, but that's a 50-some yard field goal now. Mm-hmm. You know, who knows in the weather. But,
man,
you know, of course I'm a homer.
As soon as Ben ran back out on that field and the ball was fumbled, I looked over at somebody to my left. I was like, this is pre-optimistic Tim. I was like, this is over. Like, all the plays that you're saying later on in that drive and stuff, like, I don't even think they matter at all. I feel like if the penalties don't happen, I feel like Ben just rips off a 20-yard pass, they kick a field goal, win the game. I don't think any of that matters. The only thing that matters is that Burfict played one of the greatest games from a linebacker position of all time to have right. you in position of the game, the same way Pac-Man returned the kicks and did all these things to get you in position to win it. Once Jeremy Hill fumbles the football, like, to me, like, the game's over.
We were jinxed. Like, for whatever reason, you're jinxed, you know? And you need somebody to come in and break that. And we got that right now.
You need somebody to hold.
We need that witch from the Game of Thrones.
You need someone to snuggle.
Bring Jon Snow back to life. That's what just happened.
Well, Gary, we appreciate you being so generous with your time. Let people know where they can find your stuff, because I know you got a podcast, you're on tour. Just let people know. Where
my OnlyFans page starts next week. I'm just kidding.
I subscribed last night.
Listen, I've told numerous people, if the Bengals ever go to the Super Bowl, I got bail money set aside because I will be arrested. There could be new pitches on me. And unlike Kevin Hart, I'm going to be on that fucking stage.
We on the floor. We are on the float. I know that the Bengals haven't done you your just due in the past, but I've already talked to PR lady, all the people. I said, I don't care what happens. Me and my boys, we are on that float.
We need to get our own float.
We do.
Yeah,
we're gonna. You know what I mean?
That's not far. Yeah, hey, look, I'm networking every day just to make sure that maybe I could just grab like some.
Well, network the front. The front office is coming around towards me a little bit, but they ain't there yet. Almost, but Zach Taylor is on board. He likes me. It was funny how this will be my last story, and I gotta go. I'm over here. But I was doing my podcast, which is Get Some. It's on every platform, but. I had TJ on and Hushmanzada, and he kept getting phone calls. It was the day after Burrow got drafted that we were recording, and it was the Bengals calling him because he trained Higgins and Pittman, and they were just asking him about Pittman and Higgins. And he goes, I go, dude, who is blowing you up? Because the whole podcast is looking at his phone. And he goes, I don't know, it's a 513 number. I don't recognize it. So afterwards, TJ – it's Zach Taylor and Duke Tobin and some other people, and they just wanted to ask him questions because he trained people. And he goes, man, that's crazy. You guys are calling. I was just doing Gary Owens' podcast. And he was like, who? And TJ goes, what? Yeah, that's the dude, and he's a Bengals fan. Zach was the quarterbacks coach at Miami when I roasted the Dolphins in 2014. Oh, and when he got hired with the Bengals, he was like, yo, we had a comedian come in with the Dolphins, and it went over well. He roasted us. So he brought in another comedian his first year, and it didn't work out. TJ says, look up Gary Owen. Zach Taylor looks him up and goes, that's the dude. That's the dude I was looking for.
Wow.
Emails my manager, and my manager calls me, and she's not a football fan. She goes, hey, do you know a Zach Taylor? And I went, I know one Zach Taylor. And I go, I don't think it's that one. She goes, he says he's the head coach of the Bengals. And it was so weird. He just sent an email with all his info with his cell on it. So my manager FaceTimed him to make sure it was him. Screenshot the FaceTime, sent it to me. I go, that's him. I call Zach. We start talking, and we're like, yo, we want to make your presence felt around the stadium. And then COVID hit, and everything kind of shut down. So I haven't been able to take advantage of the olive branch that got sent out, really.
I name dropped you one time. I'm at Paul Brown. They're like, hey, Zim. You got any guys that you think, you know, might be interested in games and stuff? I was like, I know a couple guys, so I put you in that mix. That's what I said.
Yeah, hey, I remember that.
I got you. Like, I got
yeah,
you.
I remember that because I was like, I remember seeing that episode with TJ as well, and I was like, nah, they got to get Gary right. They got to get Gary off in there because Gary will go on First Take and all of these other shows and talk about the Bengals.
NFL Network, ESPN, they always call me like, yo, you want to talk about the Bengals? I'm like, yeah. The Bengals, it was so bad at one point, like when they went to London to play the Redskins, and this is not a knock, I want to stay in good standings, it was the old Bengals basically. I got my tickets from the Redskins. Dan Snyder was like, yeah, we'll take care of Gary. Left me field passes, tickets. The Bengals like, ah. I was like, and I was doing Sky Sports. I was the guest at halftime for England's version of SportsCenter.
Right.
And I was just like, how did the Redskins take care of me, Dan Snyder and everybody? And and they knew I was a Bengals fan.
Right.
I was like, what just happened?
Yeah.
I'm glad that Zach is there to fix all of that.
Joe Burrow's there, but I'll pay now. I don't care. Joe Burrow's there. I'll sit in the 300s. I'm not doing that. He ain't that good yet.
Not with that damn cut, you're not.
No, you don't get 300.
Super Bowl, I sit in the 300s for sure.
Bengals, I'm getting Super Bowl, B. I'm getting JB. And here's another fun fact about Joe Burrow. This is the last story I got to go.
You're going to put JB on the stage. Oh, you know what? You know what? We do ask everybody that comes on here, if we do go to the Super Bowl, what are you going to do? And I'm going to let you tell your story. What are you going to do for the Bengals community as far as like, for me, I'm going to paint most of my hair orange. What are you going to do is what the people want to know.
I'm getting a tattoo.
Of Joey B.
If he's the quarterback that leads us there, who knows? It could be Brandon Allen. People get hurt.
Whatever quarterback goes there, you're going to tat it. It could be, I don't care the size of it.
I'm getting this face on my arm if they just go like Super Bowl. This just exact like that. Face.
Just like that. You know what? I think we bigged up that shirt a lot earlier in this thing, but why does that look like Colin Kaepernick or something like that?
It's not like Colin Kaepernick.
That does not look like Joey B, for real.
That's Joey B, baby.
Don't you tap that face right there on there.
Joe Burrow face.
No, you said you had one more story.
What was it? I just pulled a Zim. I forgot it. Oh, it was Joey in high school. So this is how close I was to seeing him play in high school and not even realizing it. My high school, Talawanda Brave, they went to the Ohio playoffs in 2014, Joey Burrow, senior year of high school. And they were both Division III, I believe. Two or three? I don't know. I think they were Division III. Joey Burrow ended up going to the state finals and lost like 59-52. He threw for like 6 touchdowns. But if my high school team would have won their first playoff game, they would have played Athens in the second round. I would have got a nice – I was that close to seeing them play in high school, but they lost to Wapakoneta in the first round. There's a lot of – and my high school was Talawanda. First round, Talawanda versus Wapakoneta.
That's like
one of them wars in the TV show Seed.
Yeah. My team, I went to Wyoming. We always would lose to, I think, Valley View or something like that.
Why are all of these schools on Indian reservations or something?
That's what a lot of schools are based off of was the Indian. Like, keep in mind, Miami, Ohio was Miami Redskins, and they had to change it to Red Hawks. Okay. Talawanda Braves had to change it to the Brave because now, you know, we're just naive to American history. We weren't. We were just in denial.
Cincinnati football is good, though, like on the level.
Hell yeah,
there's some teams up there.
Gary, I gotta go, man. We're going to get you in trouble. I want you to help me out, too. I'm going to do this contest coming up soon. It's going to be – believe it or not, this is so random, really quick. I'm going to be giving out 2 tickets to a suite for a Bengals game. You can't code to the suite. But it's going to be built – it's going to be geared on someone doing an act of kindness in the city of Cincinnati. So I want you to announce the winner if you have any time coming up.
Just let me know.
Okay.
All right, yeah. Gary.
I didn't say yes. I just said just let me know.
I'll let you know.
You said you would. I said I did not. I said let me know.
I like that.
Well, Gary, we appreciate you coming on. As you guys know, this podcast is sponsored by Midwest Best Barbecue and the Natty. Be sure to check them out. But as usual, Zim, we'll have to lead them with a yes.
Sursky.
Hello, world. What separated your deep ball from everybody else?
My deep ball, it had a little secret sauce to it, man.
I never get too high, never get too low, but just keep moving.
The whole story is Carlos never beat me in any kind of sports. And